Our scripture reading today is Genesis chapter 45. And we are completing our little mini-series on the life of Joseph today titled Bad Things, Good People. Hear the word of the Lord. Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by. And he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Verse 24. Then he sent his brothers on their way, and as they were leaving, he said to them, "Do not quarrel along the way." So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. And they told him, "Joseph is still alive. He is even ruler over all the land of Egypt." He was stunned. He could not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph that he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. Israel said, "Enough. My son Joseph is still alive. I must go and see him before I die." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. What is a normal family? Would anyone here say that their family is normal? I see a lot of heads bobbing and shaking. Here's what I believe. I believe the only thing that's normal is that we're all imperfect. Amen. I told y'all certainly about my imperfect family last week and our sibling rivalries and all of that. You know, a lot of people have family dynamics that put pressure on their relationships. Some of the pressure points in families include things like substance abuse, money problems, strange personalities. Any of y'all have weird people in your family? Maybe you are that person. Other things that complicate family dynamics are mistakes, failures, even unrealistic expectations. Well, last week we talked about a guy named Joseph. We introduced his story to you. It is found in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. So nearly a third of that book is devoted to his family and their story. Joseph's family would certainly fall into the category of imperfect. There were many pressure points in this family, things like favoritism, jealousy, betrayal, lies. A lot of people doing bad things. We know from Joseph's story that his brothers, they sell him into slavery. His journey leads him from a pit to Potiphar's house to a prison cell and then to an Egyptian palace. Joseph goes from look at how great I'm going to be to the lowest of lows, and ultimately he comes to that place of look at how great God is. There are a lot of bad things that happen to good people in this story. In the end, Joseph realizes that the Lord can bring good out of evil in our lives. He can bend all of that to his purposes. Now Joseph, in the end, he wants his brothers to see this powerful truth and experience it for themselves. So the famine breaks out in the land, and Joseph's brothers, they go to Egypt to try to find food. Guess who they have to deal with to buy this grain? Their brother. The one they sold and betrayed and left for dead. They have no idea who Joseph is. He tricks them into bringing his little brother Benjamin to him in Egypt. And then when they bring Benjamin, he tricks them again by hiding his silver cup in Benjamin's bag of grain. And then this trickster, Joseph, sends his servant to catch them in the supposed theft. And when they search, sure enough, that cup is in Benjamin's bag. The brothers think Benjamin is going to have to remain in Egypt as Joseph's servant because of this crime. They are distraught over the whole ordeal because they know this is going to break their father's heart. Again, their family will be devastated again. And so they beg Joseph not to make Benjamin pay the price. And instead, Judah says, take me instead, but let Benjamin go free. Then we pick up the story here in chapter 45. The big reveal is about to happen. Big reveals were happening long before there was reality television and home improvement shows. Here's a big reveal. Joseph pulls off his wig, he jumps to his feet, and he says, "Surprise, it's me." Verse 3 says the brothers were speechless. Not what they were expecting. But not only are they speechless at Joseph, their brother, standing there alive, but they are terrified. What's he going to do? What do you think is going through their minds in this moment? All of the fear, the shame, the guilt of what they have done to their little brother washes over their hearts in a split second. The years of hiding their sin is finally caught up with them. It has been brought into the light. The weight of their betrayal weighs on them like a 50-pound bag of grain. You feel that? What does Joseph do? He gives them an unexpected gift. He's been giving them gifts all along in this story, but now he gives them another one. He showers them with mercy. You feel that? That mercy washing over them? He lifts that weight off of their shoulders. He says this to them. He says that he has carried that burden for them all of these years. That sin of theirs, he's been carrying it. Listen to how he puts it. Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." He said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold to Egypt. Now don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me here. God sent me before you to make sure you would survive and to rescue your lives in an amazing way." Mercy. And then Joseph, he grabs his younger brother Benjamin by the neck and he weeps on him. And then probably the most beautiful and dramatic scene in the whole story is when Joseph grabs his other 10 brothers and he kisses on them and he weeps, shedding tears upon them. Wow, what an amazing story. Here's what this story teaches me. The first thing is the Bible doesn't give us images of perfect families. Rather, it lifts up the possibility of redeemed ones. Redeemed families. Families with new chapters that mean good things even when people do bad things. I mean, aren't we all sinners saved by grace? Y'all, God did that in my family. My family. Alcoholism was a big troublemaker in my family. It created a lot of tension in our relationships. There was always hanging over our family the possibility of estrangement, revenge, resentment, and severed relationships. All of these things were burdens upon our family. But God helped bring freedom to our family. He delivered my stepfather from alcoholism. My stepfather has celebrated over 35 years of sobriety. He's still walking in it. It's not been easy. And that sobriety has created a lot of freedom in our family. Many years ago, my stepfather asked my forgiveness of him. Talk about a big thing, a big reveal. That changed everything. Y'all, sometimes the journey to freedom can take years. So don't give up hope. The second thing this story teaches me is that Joseph's story is about freedom. It's a story about the goodness of God, even when bad things happen. There is freedom all over this story. Joseph is set free from a pit. There is freedom from betrayal. There is freedom from false accusations by Potiphar's wife. There is freedom from being forgotten and overlooked in a prison cell. There is freedom from emotional guilt and shame that was carried by his brothers for years. And there is freedom from a famine. You see all of this in this story? This story is setting us up for Exodus. And that story of freedom. The key verse was verse 7. Did you catch it? Here's what it says. God sent me before you to make sure you would survive and to rescue your lives in an amazing way. That verse is a wonderful picture of Jesus. It is a little Easter egg right there in the book of Genesis. Jesus was sent by the Father to rescue our lives in an amazing way. We have been given freedom in Christ. This means that good things are possible even for bad people. We are all sinners. And we are redeemed by the grace of God.